Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Matt Renshaw, and with me this week is Nick Robinson. And that is how you roll your R's. Nick, welcome.
Nice. How's it going?
Oh, it's good, man. It's been a good it's teacher appreciation week at McDonald's.
Oh, nice.
So like I get a free breakfast meal, like I need it, but oh. Just to remind everyone, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Stop guessing. Start calculating. Nick, you've been on the show before. Kind of know the setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So always start off with a kid story. And you got some badass kids.
That I do. Yeah, they got they're 6 and 5. Ellery's actually going to be 7 here in just a couple weeks, but they started doing jiu-jitsu about 6 months ago or so, and a couple weeks ago they had their first tournament, and they both went out there and just tore it up, and Ellery won 3 golds. Isla lost to one other boy. Her first match, she was super nervous. I was trying to get her to like jump around and stretch before, and she just kind of stood there stiff and went out of the mat and just was too tense for it. But after that, they both loosened up, and the only person I lost to other than that was Ellery. The rest of the tournament, they rolled against each other twice, which was difficult to watch.
Ooh, yeah. Who do you root for in that situation? Neither.
We both just, that was the only match you couldn't hear me or Sarah yelling.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. You root for one, I'll root for the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Watch them go out there and fight hard. Ellery was, her nerves were off the chain, man. She was before, if she was going against, she had 3 matches against people that were in her gym, and that was just like practice.
Yeah.
But going against people that she didn't know, she was really nervous and kind of crying a little bit before. And actually on her last one, she was up 22-0, and she like kind of rolled over on her back, and the girl hadn't scored points yet or anything, but she was like crying just because she was like spent emotionally and physically. But no, they loved it. It was a lot of fun.
Did they like set the record at the tournament or something? I mean,
the highest scoring match of the week or of the tournament still. And she had all other finishes were arm bars, and it was a blast.
That's nuts. Remind me never to come to your house and be smart alecky around your kids. So let's see, this week for me, we moved. We're in the process of moving or figuring out what we're doing. We closed on the house, but decided to remodel the floors and paint everything. You know, like the honey-do list was super, super long when we moved in. But so we finally had bunk beds that we put together for the girls. Nice. I got to be, I don't know, Mr. Fix-It there and put those together. And the people that listen to us regularly know, hey, wait, we're off a day because we didn't have internet. I would never suggest moving to anybody because we lost the router. We found the router, but we lost the cord for the router. Multiple trips to different stores. I'm like, I texted you last night, like, don't ever move. If you don't have to move, folks, don't do it. Because
that's coming from a part-time realtor.
I mean, I like helping people buy, but oh, the stress of moving. Goodness, yeah. We moved. The first time I moved was into our old house. And I'm like, you're moving from an apartment to a house. You're like, oh my gosh, we have so much room. I've never moved from a house to a house.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now I have a new respect for the clients that I serve.
Yeah, for sure. And
I will never tell them, it's not stressful moving. What are you talking about? All right. So let's get into this. We had a busy week with freaking injuries, man. Russell Wilson looks like he can miss 6 to 8 weeks with a finger issue. And according to Ian Rappaport, the surgery was, quote unquote, more complicated than expected. Early reports say that Wilson is targeting a week 10 return. Nick, you're a huge DK Metcalf fan. Everybody knows it.
Yep.
Are you worried about DK Metcalf in this offense now?
If you asked me last week that Russell Wilson's going to go down, would I be worried? I'd be terrified. But DK wasn't really doing anything. He wasn't getting many targets, which he does. I mean, he's inconsistent, yeah, but he usually gets his.
He gets hot and cold. And
yeah,
Tyler Lockett has been eating in that offense.
Yeah. But then Geno comes in, marches, I think, like 96 yards down the field. They just lit it up. I was super impressed with how Geno came out and performed.
Yeah, Geno did not look half bad. I think if you would have said, like you said last week, you said, oh, Geno Smith, people would have been like, oh, gosh. Yeah, just like that. And, I mean, he tore it up, looked well. We'll see. I mean, now a defense has had a week to prepare, and you kind of know Geno. But I think people forget that Geno Smith was a decent starter for the Jets a few years ago. Some people were saying he looked better than Russ.
Yeah, he was looking good. I'd say he's kind of like a knockoff Winston. He's not somebody you want starting for your team, like if you're a true NFL team. But if he goes out there and he's as aggressive as he was last week, I have no concern for DK.
Yeah, and he'll run. He can move, and
yeah,
I think he'll be okay. What's the ceiling? Geno Smith in a super flex league should be rostered. I'm in a league where we have 100 fab, everybody bid, not everybody, but 100, he went for $100 in fab in one league that I'm in a super flex league. I agree. I think that's, I mean, at this point in the season, a starting quarterback that's going to start for 2 months. Yeah. That could be, I mean, even if you flip him.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, but in one of our leagues, we're in together, the quarantine degenerates league.
Yes.
I had 191 fab left and I spent all 191 on him.
That's right. Superflex League, he's the starter. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I've got Aaron Rodgers, and this is how terrible I am this year. I don't remember who the other quarterback is, but he's another top 12 quarterback.
Let's be honest. That league is going to fall apart anyway.
Absolutely.
Trash.
But yeah, I figured you can't find a starting quarterback that's going to start for you for the next few weeks. And with bye weeks coming up, I'm going to sit him there until somebody becomes needing another injury or start bye weeks. And I'm just going to flip him.
Yeah. And speaking of terrible backup quarterbacks, I mean, Mike Glennon is a starter now.
Yeah.
And he looked like bad. Everybody in the Giants game got hurt. The neck came in. I don't know whose neck is longer, Mike Glennon's or Davis Mills. But one of those two wins that award for sure. It's probably the newest daddy's award at the end of the season. But the New York Giants lost every player in Sunday's game against the Cowboys. Barkley out with a gruesome ankle injury. Daniel Jones out with a concussion. Kenny G out with a case of, I just don't want to be here anymore. One of the bright spots seemed to be rookie Kadarius Toney, probably. Toney is currently, I think this will blow people's minds, the rookie wide receiver 3. No one saw that coming. So we're going to play name game with Toney, and we'll get back to the rest of the Giants. But sure. Would you rather have Toney or Hollywood Brown?
Toney.
Wow.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But I think 2 weeks ago, that would have been like, I don't want to, which cousin do you want to kiss? Like, gross, get out of here. No, thanks. But yeah, Toney looks good. Okay, Toney, and I think this is one of your rookie crushes. Rondale Moore.
It's a coin flip. It is. I might lean Toney right now, which, again, like you just said a couple weeks ago, I definitely would not have said that, but he has the traits on paper. I know he was getting a lot of hate, mostly because he went to the Giants and that early, before a few people. And I think that kind of happens every year. There's a quarterback or receiver, running back, whatever it is. Everybody is projecting them to go later.
Yep.
They get drafted a few picks earlier, and people just shit on him.
Yeah.
I don't want to cuss out here.
Fade. You can fade this player. I don't want him. No. Yeah. And then we talk about this all the time. I mean, it was Daniel Jones coming out as a quarterback. It was Josh Allen even years ago. And now Allen's the quarterback too in Dynasty. Daniel Jones up and down, but as a starting quarterback. Yeah, there's guys, like you said, there's guys that always fall that seem to – the people that draft him are rewarded much earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's a first-round draft pick that has the talent on paper, and he's proving it on the field.
I don't think the fact that Urban Meyer said that he wanted to draft him helped him.
sure.
I think that kind of hurt him in some people's eyes. But we'll go with another rookie wide receiver here, Rashad Bateman, the unknown wide receiver in Baltimore.
Yeah, I still go with what I've seen. I do like Bateman, but I've seen Tony do it. And there's prospects every year that I love coming out, and then they do nothing. So yep. I'll take the guy that's producing already.
Okay, Brandon Ayuk.
Tony.
Yeah, I think that's – yeah. There's people out there that are high on him, and this is another guy that I think people are high on. LaViska Shenault.
Tony.
Man. So you haven't picked – you've got Tony on every one of them. Here's one that'll be hard. Your cousin, Chicago Bears wide receiver, Allen Robinson.
I take A-Rob there.
Okay.
Yeah, I still love me some A-Rob.
He's just – he was quarterback-proof until this year. I don't know what happens. I think they'll right the ship. I really like Justin Fields. And as he'll progress, I think once Matt Nagy is gone, we're going to have the Adam Gase effect with the Chicago Bears, and we'll be good. Last one, one of my guys, Michael Thomas.
Thomas, for sure.
He'll see, now all of those guys that we listed, Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore, Bateman, Ayuk, Shenault, Robinson, and Michael Thomas, were in like a 10 to 15 pick range in the DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Stop guessing.
Stop guessing.
You can, I was like, you can do it if you want to.
I know it, man.
they were within 10 to 15 picks of each other in the value range. And between everyone listed, I'm taking A-Rob over him. I'm taking Thomas over him. I'll probably take Bateman over him. But and then when Urban Meyer gets fired, I think Shenault will be okay. But most of those guys, it's pretty hard. I go with the vets more than the rookies. And I know if you're going to trade, that's probably not the best way to do it. You should take what you've got. But I honestly think if you don't do it this week and he has another hot week, you could sell Tony and make a pretty good profit, because mid second, early third is where he was going. I think you could sell him for more right now.
Yeah, that was such an under evaluation this year. I can't believe he went that late.
Dude, he was all over the place.
And yeah, let's go back to Robinson for just a second. He's only with the Bears for this year. Then he'll be a UFA.
Should be, unless they franchise him again.
True. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to see where he could potentially go if he doesn't stay.
I hate this. I hate the Allen Robinson argument. This is one of my biggest pet peeves, because I was like, imagine what he could do if he had a quarterback. People forget he had the choice to go to the Chicago. He was a free agent, and he chose to go to Chicago. And he chose
money.
That's right. But do you know the number two? Like, it was Chicago or
Green Bay.
It was Green Bay. Could you imagine Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson in the same freaking offense? Holy cow. Yeah. Rodgers never would have left or thrown a fit or whatever. I mean, whatever. Sorry. That is my yes. Anyway, speaking of the Bengals, have you ever seen two teams not want to win more than the Bengals and the Packers on Sunday with five missed field goals in five possession swing? It looked like the sloppiest part of the game in NFL history. Do kickers matter?
They do. They shouldn't. I hate kickers. And
are you
all
in?
Those five came within the last like two.
Oh, it was so bad.
First one in the game, and then through overtime, it was brutal.
So bad. Now I turned the game on, and that was what I caught of the game. I was like, "Oh my goodness, this is terrible." Are you in? Are you in Scott Fishbowl this year?
No, that's the first year I have. I think I made five in a row. I was out on this one.
I know they have kickers, and I'm not in the fishbowl, but I'm in a duplicate league, and kickers matter in that. They are like they're your safe floor flex. So guys that like a week like this week, it seems like there's a lot of big names out on buys this week. You could stack your lineup with kickers and they're not gonna score 30 points. But they'll get you 10 to 15 each week, and they're I like what he's done. I don't know if it'll stay long term, but I kickers matter in stuff like that. Yeah,
they do when the commissioner allows them to.
That's true.
Only commission one league now, and I could not get the league. I was putting it up to vote instead of just saying they're no more, but they wanted to still keep kickers in defense. So I decided if we're going to do that, we're just going to cut all their scoring in half. Oh. So now the swings are so small. So it might make a difference if it's maybe if you were going to tie, they might score a point here or there. But, yeah, I just – nothing worse than having your team outperform the other, and then your kick, your team, your kicker, your defense, whatever, just performs terribly, and theirs comes out and scores 30.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
It happens. I mean, that happens at other positions, though. I thinking back to last year, like Alvin Kamara scored what, 7 touchdowns in a game?
Yeah.
You know, I just it happens sometimes.
I know, but I think a lot of that I attribute more to them making it happen, whereas kickers and defense, so much of it is how the game flows and what comes to you, which I know that still happens to other – you can get a vulture touchdown here and there and save your week, but it's just whether or not they get a chance to kick 7 field goals that week or not is the difference of a championship. And
it's if your offense stalls. I mean, extra points are worth 1 point. I mean, Rodrigo Blankenship last year was good because Rivers could get him into the red zone and not into the end zone, which is weird for Rivers because he's got like 25 kids. But just to get him there, I don't know. Speaking of the Bengals and the Packers, and what is probably the weirdest story of the week, Joe Burrow is on quote-unquote voice rest after a throat injury. These aren't the usual injuries we discuss on the Dynasty Dads podcast. Nick, we're going to play a game of would you rather. Would you rather be on voice rest or a broken finger like Russell Wilson has?
I would take voice rest. That sounds like a very good excuse to just hang out and watch TV all day.
Yeah,
like,
and don't talk. You don't have to talk. You can't respond to your kids yelling, like, Dad!
Yeah, sorry, Sarah. I can't do it tonight.
Yeah, throat. Sorry, no. Yeah. voice rest or a hip contusion?
Voice.
That's
all of them. It's too good. I would not.
All right.
Too upset if I had to go on voice rest.
Yeah, I'm like I have concussion. I just went with injuries that happened this week, and I'm thinking voice rest is probably the best one. Now, to kind of get back to the seriousness, I'm going to use seriousness here real loosely. Burrow's not talking at practice. They're doing silent counts. Like, is he going to be able to audible out of plays because he is on voice rest?
I kind of want to see the a reenactment from the replacements where they had the receiver. They're all in the huddle and throwing up, and he's signing to people.
I'm going to puke. I've never heard of an NFL player on voice rest. And I'm sure I'm missing something. If the listeners out there have some sort of idea what we're doing with voice rest.
I definitely haven't either. I know it happens quite a bit with like rock concerts and whatever.
Yeah, singers and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And just know that I've done really difficult work here fighting your mom jokes during the
See, I almost went with like, oh, you like throw, like the jokes write themselves, especially. I'm like, well, Justin's on voice rest this week. Wonder what he was doing. You know, so just little stuff.
I think that might be the first time he said something about Justin. So, hi, Justin, we miss you.
Yes.
I can't remember if he said that or not.
Yes, Justin will be back next week, I assume. It's just been, it's been a week. Yes, Justin, we are making fun of you while we record the show. Another injury, but maybe back. Christian McCaffrey is 50-50 to play this week, according to Panthers coach Matt Rhule. While McCaffrey's been out, though, Chuba Hubbard has filled in exceptionally well, rushing 24 times for 101 yards and adding 5 receptions for 33 yards this past week. You have, I assume, a pretty big share of McCaffrey, no?
I do.
Does that scare you?
Chuba?
I mean, the fact that they were willing to give this rookie such high volume, and he did well with it. He showed well.
No.
No? Oh, okay.
Well, CMC. If it was a lot of other running backs, I would say yes. But when he comes back and he's healthy, he's going to get the load. I'm not.
That's what.
I'm really not concerned about it.
See, I think I see where you're coming from, but I'm going to play the other side of this here. McCaffrey's been hurt 2 seasons in a row. Is it a McCaffrey's really good? And he's irreplaceable, or the system around him is really good. We've seen Mike Davis succeed. We've now seen Chuba succeed. Is it a McCaffrey is really good, or is it the system that he's in helps?
I'll say it definitely helps, but CMC takes it too. If he's playing, he is unquestionably the RB1. If he was in a different offense, he'd be a top five.
Really? He's a top one. So you think,
I mean,
he's number one now. Scenario,
he could be on the worst team in the NFL. And I would
Houston. He could be in Houston.
And I'd bet $1,000 he's going to be top five, no matter who's in front of him, who his quarterback is,
who his offensive line is.
Yeah, who the coach is. I don't care. He's next level. I know you hear it all the time, generational talent. He is the definition of generational talent.
With soft tissue issues.
That said, I do kind of like Chuba. So.
Yeah, and I like Chuba. I like fast guys. Speed is like, I just like watching guys that are quick. I mean, we've seen it well, and we'll get to a guy here with speed on the next story. But coming out, I'm thinking if he ended up in the right spot, he could be well. And he has. He's done well with Carolina. I don't think he's going to disappear, but I think they're going to feed McCaffrey. I just think this might make it a little easier for them to go, hey, we're gonna rest. Because let's be honest, Carolina's a playoff team. Like their defense is going to be so much better. Their offense is clicking on all cylinders. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw McCaffrey's usage drop a little bit, not significantly. He's still a running back one. But with the fact that the guys behind him played well, I think it could be something to monitor.
Yeah. And as an owner, I welcome that. I think if he comes out, even if he just gets 15 touches a game for the next month, if he stays healthy for the playoffs, I'm all for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Governor, though.
Yeah. Sorry. Whatever. Justin's not here. We can play owner today, right?
Speaking of speed, we're going to get to your Chiefs here. Tyreek Hill popped up on the injury report with a quad injury. If Hill can't play this week, this is Travis Kelce week against a Washington Redskins secondary that can't stop a nosebleed.
Every week is Travis Kelce week, but yes, it should be a little.
They're going to force it to him. I mean, it's just I think Hill will play. I think we've seen this before. You don't need a lot of practice reps. That offense, at least the big three in that offense, don't need to participate. They're okay. I don't think it's anything to worry about. Could it be? Could it be out? Yeah. Do we have teams on bye? Yeah, but if he's playing, you're starting him.
I think the question should have been, could this be a Josh Gordon week?
No. You and I both, like, it is our love for Josh Gordon is mutual. I will openly admit that. But no, he's not the same Josh Gordon. I want him to succeed. I would love for him to do well. I don't see it. They're going to have a new running back out there. We can get to that. Let's see. Here we go. MCLs. Chiefs Clyde Edwards-Helaire, CEH, sprained MCL, all these three-letter words, and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. He's already been placed on short-term IR, with rumors the Chiefs have looked into acquiring Marlon Mack. Their unsurprising backfield of Williams and McKinnon, what's the play moving forward here?
I don't love any of them in my starting lineup, but it's still the running back with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So whoever does get the carries is probably going to produce at least a touchdown here or there. And I think it's just going to be a coin flip on picking the right one every week.
Williams is the starter, stepped into the role when CEH went out, probably on a roster, probably already yeah. on a roster. Yeah. I can tell you, due to some research that I've done, that Jerick McKinnon is not on more than half of the rosters in most leagues. It's weird to me to be saying, like, Jerick McKinnon, if he's out there, he's worth adding. Like, absolutely. He's a play this week. You can grab and hold if you're desperate for a guy. I think you can start him. He's going to get a few touches, but I think it's Williams' backfield until he proves that he can't handle it. They're not going to be a run heavy offense, I don't think. I mean, they're a high pass volume They may try to run the ball now because they want to keep their defense off the field because their defense has just been atrocious. Is that too harsh? I mean, you're the
– No. Oh, it's been very difficult to watch.
Oh. And so, I mean, you could see that a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if McKinnon is like a surefire going to step into the pass catching role there. Honestly, I think Marlon Mack there would be great. Like I would love that.
Yeah, I think he's a serviceable RB2 fill in guy.
Should be cheap.
No problem with that.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if he'd come in. I mean, I don't think he'd come in and be the guy. But it'd just be nice to see them get a younger running back on the roster along with CEH.
Yeah, I think if Jonathan Taylor wasn't in Indy right now, Mac would be performing pretty well. I mean,
he's still
doing too much, in my opinion, because I'm also a JT owner. But, yeah, I mean, he's looked good in the chances he's gotten. Yeah, I would be all for that as a KC fan.
I think so Marlon Mack has been getting carries for whatever reason. Coming off the Achilles injury, I think that gives Cam Akers governors, people that have him on their roster, whatever you want to call them, some hope for his recovery. Achilles injuries used to be the death nail in a running back's career, and Mack is kind of breaking that mold, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The technology is getting crazy to take it to a totally different point here. My mom actually just had shoulder surgery. I had the same surgery 10 years ago, and I was in a sling for like a month, and I couldn't move it. And it took like 6 months of rehab. She got surgery on Friday, and by Monday, she was out of the sling and doing rehab.
Wow.
They're just getting so good at all this stuff. It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, I think every year we're going to see a decline in these injuries being career enders or even degrading them in their career. Like, I think the technology is just coming so far and so fast that,
yeah.
I mean, ACL is not that long ago. We were saying the same thing about player 10 years ago, an ACL injury for a running back was terrible. And then AP comes back and rushes for 2,000 yards, and it's just not a thing anymore. They'll be out, but they'll be back.
It used to be a 2 year, at least in my opinion, with ACLs. I used to think, okay, they got a year off. The first year back, they're not going to be as good, but the following year, they'll be back to full strength. And it seems like guys are coming back year one. I mean, boom, after the year of rehab or year off, whatever, they're back in it. So yeah, these injuries that you see most of the time, unless your name's Odell Beckham Jr., you're back pretty quick. So speaking of Chiefs trying to overcome their defense here, the story out of Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes is trying to do way too much to get over the Chiefs' defense. I watched the Chiefs games. My kids are huge Patrick Mahomes fans. I personally think it's the wide receivers that are dropping the ball that are causing these issues. I mean, the one interception that went for a pick six, it hit the dude in the hands. And I don't know if that was Pringle or Ruffles, or I don't know who the wide receiver was, but I don't put this blame on Mahomes. I don't think it's on the defense either. I'm putting the blame on the wide receiver, the pass catchers that aren't named Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
100%. And actually, I don't have it in front of me, but somebody tweeted out the other day the expected additional points they'd have without drops. And Tom Brady was actually first, which is surprising because he's still tearing it up. And then Mahomes was second. And third place was quite a ways behind. And his yards per attempt, I believe, one of them. Again, I'm terrible with recalling the facts here on the spot, but he is outperforming his 2019 season. He's having the best season that he's had on a per attempt basis, which just blew me away when I saw it because of how they're doing. But I think it's just the field position they're getting is terrible because of the defense. And yeah, it has been brutal to watch.
I'm going to go to our next story, and it kind of ties into the Chiefs because they know they need a wide receiver too. I think that's public knowledge. Everyone knows it. They've made attempts to get wide receiver twos, which leads us into the next story. Juju Smith-Schuster out the rest of the season. How disappointed are you that he is not the Chiefs wide receiver two right now?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to have a healthy Juju.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's hurt right now. And the rest of the story is he's been berated with his decision to stay in Pittsburgh and try to run it back with the Steelers, but doesn't even get to finish the season with them.
Yeah.
Does Juju being out and not on the Chiefs, does that change anybody's trajectory, outlook for the Steelers, for you, in your opinion?
Not a lot, really, just because Big Ben, it doesn't matter if he has 20 top 10. Yes, I said that. 20 top 10 receivers or nobody on his team, he's going to be horrible.
No. And, you hate Big Ben?
Oh, my God. He should have retired 3 years ago.
No.
He's been way past his welcome.
Yeah, but he's won them two Super Bowls. I get it. This is probably it for him.
Yeah, I think they are going the better route than the Patriots did with Brady. You want Brady to retire in a New England jersey, which he probably will,
technically.
But now you hear Tom Brady, people are going to start to think Buccaneers.
Yeah, especially if he wins another one.
Oh, man. Yeah, it'll be – You can't do that as an owner of a franchise. I don't care who your GM or your coach is. You say, I don't care if we lose for the next five seasons. This guy just got me so many Super Bowls. You keep them. When they retire, that's the only team they talk about, they think about.
Yeah.
I know it might not be the most the best thing for your this year's team, but he's still out there, and I don't know whoever they would get
would did necessarily you, be did you see the winkies that they were given? The Roger winkies to oh my goodness.
Yeah, if you have the chance to do that and steal somebody else's Rodgers, then yeah. But when your backup is a nobody and whoever you're drafting, I totally get it from a Steelers standpoint. I just think somebody that loves Big Ben needs to sit him down and force his hand to sign a retirement paper.
Look, man, it's time to go. Yeah. You're not a Dwayne Haskins fan then, huh? Not or Mason really. Rudolph. I mean, Mason Rudolph looked terrible, but
no, yeah. I mean, he just hasn't shown it. He's shown the opposite. He hasn't, like, I mean, people can get better and surprise you, but I don't see him being there for long as a starter for sure.
I actually like it I mean, we're not celebrating an injury here, but I think we're going to see Najee Harris get even more, which is weird to say because he's already eating everything there, but like, it's a boost to Harris, and it could give James Washington an opportunity to showcase his skill. James Washington's a free agent at the end of the year. He's a guy, if you've got a roster spot on your bench and you're in a dynasty league, add James Washington because he's going to go somewhere that wants him next year. And at least he's got an opportunity to raise his dynasty value. So those are kind of the two that I think could be impacted. Maybe Freiermuth sees some more opportunities, but I don't think that he's going to eat into that much. I think it's good news for Harris, and Big Ben stays the same to me because the dude's going to throw the ball regardless of who he has catching it. So,
yeah.
All right. The NFL is going to Germany. After initial period with expressions of interest were received from multiple cities, I'm going to do my best. Düsseldorf, probably which is – just real fun to say, probably. Frankfurt, that one I know is right.
Yeah.
And Munich have been invited to proceed to the quote-unquote candidate phase of the process. Those cities will now participate in deeper conversations about staging games in Germany. What do you think?
I love it. I think all the games in like Mexico or London, the more eyes you get on the NFL, I don't see it being a negative. I don't think they're going to go too crazy and start 16 teams in different countries, whatever, but I could totally see in the next 5 years having like a London conference and having
a whole conference.
Yeah, something, maybe two in London, a couple in Germany, something to have, like they can play some games in country against their own and then have longer trips. But yeah, I think it's just inevitable.
5 years?
Yeah, I could see it happening pretty quick.
That time frame seems quick to me. I don't disagree. Well,
I don't know if you followed, which I haven't a ton, but the St. Louis Rams.
Yes.
I know they're not anymore, but they're suing the NFL.
Yeah.
And they're talking about a potential $10 billion settlement.
That's with a B, yes.
Yeah.
Billion. Yes.
Or they could give them a lot less and a team back.
Yeah.
If they start a team there, they're going to have to come up with three more, in my opinion. You can't have.
Oh, okay.
You can't start one more. So I could totally see them giving St. Louis a team back.
Okay.
And then
giving London a team.
More started somewhere, something like that. Yeah. I could
probably realign your conferences.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see it happening, especially it's looking more and more likely that they're getting, which it's still the NFL and NFLPA. The money they have there is insane.
Right.
But so does St. Louis. The city has a lot of money, and you're talking $10 billion. You're going to get lawyers to work for you.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see that happening. And from an NFL standpoint, if your punishment is you get four more teams, more games,
more revenue, more eyes.
Yeah. Their punishment is more money. It's like they're forcing to grow, but they have the infrastructure to grow four more teams.
That's interesting. I haven't thought of that. And I Justin hates it, but I love what if situations in the NFL. Yeah. So that could be. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like I assume when we talk about teams that go, you know, everyone feels like that London's going to have a team, and if a team were to transplant to London, it's going to be the Jaguars because Shad Khan owns the Jaguars, also owns the stadium that they play in over there. The dots are pretty easy to connect that way. But to add three new teams, I don't hate it. And you could do a team in Mexico and a team in London, and then you got to find another city. And you could probably do another United States city and then realign everything. But yeah, that's interesting.
I can see them after going through this with St. Louis, I can see them being fairly reluctant to relocate teams in the near future.
Yeah.
Especially if they get a real stronghold on getting this settlement to go through.
Yeah.
Or if they actually go to court, which I don't see happening, but if they end up either having to pay big money or start a new team, I could totally see that happen.
Kind of slap on the wrist and then stop your growth. Let's see. I'm going to go a little different route here. We're going to talk about it's week six. You know, there are some teams out there that are 0-5, some out there that are 1-4. What's your strategy here? If that's your team, if you're 1-4 and 0-5, and I understand it's going to depend on, you know, your roster situation and your team build, but are you one to more likely like blow it up, or are you just going to add little pieces here and there and hope for a run next year?
It definitely depends on both my team's my team build and the league. There are some leagues that are super top heavy. We're in a couple of those.
Yep.
And even if you're 1-4, maybe even 2-3 with a mediocre team, your chances of winning are a lot less than most people believe. Yeah. Everybody likes their team. They're your players, especially active people that trade. If they're on your team, you like them too much. And a lot of people do not rebuild soon enough, in my opinion. There are some great teams that just have some bad luck. I think you're sitting at 3-2 in a league. You lost the last couple of weeks, but you have an obvious top three team. The worst case scenario.
Also, if you're a moron and you start a guy that doesn't play for the week, your chances of winning drop significantly. So,
yeah, that doesn't help. That doesn't help for sure. But yeah, I would say almost every team that's 1-5 or 0-5 or 1-4, it's time to take an obvious look at. First, I would do is look at the standings, see who is in the playoff hunt but needs a piece. Don't go to the best team in the league because they're not going to be the one buying.
Right.
Go to the number three or number four team in your league. Say, hey, this old guy is not going to help me this year. He might give you the edge to
James Robinson. Robinson probably, if Urban stays, isn't the lead back next year, but is the lead back now, putting up points. Yep. Here's a guy.
Yep,
you could probably get a first plus if you have James Robinson you're trying to sell. My strategy with this is, and it's weird, I've done a couple rebuilds. I tend to try to trade for players that are out for the year. Juju Smith makes sense to me right now. CEH, if he is available, is a guy I would trade for. I mean, people that get hurt, they're like, ah, and those teams that had those players are like, man, if I could get production from this guy, I'd be okay. I'm in a league now. I've got AB. I'm trying to flip. It's a rebuild. I'm trying to flip AB for Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, to me, in my mind, that makes sense. I'm not winning. They're trying to win. It's a flip I'm trying to make. So that's my strategy. I just try to add players that are out for the year that their value is probably going to go up. And if I can either use it next year to win or trade that off in the future.
100%. And a lot of times it's really hard to get rookies, but I would keep an eye out for Travis Etienne.
Yep.
People just drafted him. I could see right when he got injured, everybody's looking at their team saying, no, I'm going to hold on to him. But if you're sitting there and you're borderline and you could trade a James Robinson for Travis Etienne and give yourself a good chance this year, some people will do that.
Yeah.
And that's an instant smash on my side.
Absolutely.
You're rebuilding.
J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers. I mean, those kind of guys too. All right. Let's do Renegades here, and then we'll come back and talk about tonight's football game.
Let's do it.
All right, first Renegade, we have mentioned his name already. Jerick McKinnon, rostered in 37% of leagues. Like I said, you can take a dart throw, and we talked about the Chiefs running back being productive in an Andy Reid offense. At that spot, I don't hate adding a guy that's owned in less than, I mean, it's a coin flip if he's available. Add him, see what happens. My second one, I was really shocked that this guy was only rostered in 48% of leagues, so right on that threshold. But Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Lions. My love for Lions wide receivers has been documented very much so on this. Someone has to catch passes from Jared Goff. I know Jared Goff's bad. Everyone wants DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson, but Quintez Cephas was the guy, and he's out with a broken collarbone for the year. Tyrell Williams doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon with the concussion. Somebody has to step up. I'm betting it's St. Brown, fourth-round rookie. Give me the guy, especially if less than 50, if he's free, sure. I'm trying to trade for him in some places just so I've got that. He's a lotto ticket for me. They're going to be down a lot. They're going to be throwing a lot. A guy that catches a lot of passes. So if he's available in your league, that would be someone I would absolutely go out and pick up right now. Doesn't matter. Dynasty, redraft. Dynasty, he should be owned. But even redraft leagues, go pick him up this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, last one. We're recording on a Thursday. We're a little behind. But tonight, who do you have? Justin's our usual betologist. But we've got Tampa Bay favored by 6.5 against the Eagles and their running back turned quarterback, Jalen Hurts. This, to me, is easy. What about you?
I think it's a super easy Tampa Bay. Do you not?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the facial expression, I thought you were going.
I'm thinking, what would I do? I would probably give them 9.5. Like,
I was just going to say, if you're on a site that allows you to play some alternate lines, I would literally be looking at that 9.5 because I think this is just way too low. I can't believe that's the line right now.
They don't have Gronk. Whatever. Like, I know he's out, and Fournette is wishy-washy. Ronald Jones hasn't done a whole lot, but that offense is clicking. Like, Brady's gonna be good. The Eagles just got destroyed by Dallas a couple weeks ago. High octane passing offense. This offense, I think, is very similar in the fact that they've got all these weapons, just like Dallas does. I would say 9.5 easily. At 10, I'm starting to go maybe, because I don't, you know, you don't want to push, but give me the Buccaneers, simple. Yeah, this is simple.
Yeah, that defense is rolling too. I think their D-line is – Hurts is not going to know what to do back there.
No, and they don't run the ball. I mean, unless it's a quarterback pass that he decides to run. And I know, I'm too hard on the guy. I get it. I totally understand. It's not fair. My Cowboys bias is showing. He's a great fantasy quarterback. He's awesome. Putting up a lot of points. I get it. I do not think he's a very good NFL quarterback. And Sanders, I don't know what happened with Sanders. Fell off a cliff. They are not feeding him the ball. Kenneth Gainwell looks like he's going to own that backfield in, govern that backfield in, in a couple weeks. Like, I don't know. I don't think this is a, I think from a fantasy perspective, it's going to be a high scoring affair. From a betting standpoint, give me the Buccaneers. I'll give you 9.5 simple. Now, knowing that we're both on the same page, the Eagles will probably win by 3.
Yeah, this is going to air like Friday morning or something.
Yeah. Like and we'll look like this, then. We'll look like morons. So, yeah, whatever. Oh, and Nick, you know, that's the show. And I'm thankful for having you on. Here's your spot to kind of pub yourself.
What do you got? Nothing to pub.
Nothing to pub.
No, I don't tweet anymore.
Get your kids in jiu-jitsu so they can just break people's arms.
Yeah, I do highly recommend that. It's been a lot of fun watching them grow and their confidence that they get from it. It's been incredible. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I'm not exactly Justin Williams, so I apologize to all the listeners out there. But I had a lot of fun, so I appreciate it.
That's good. Hey, and just to remind the listeners, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
We out.
Cool.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.